Go. That's our theme for this year, and I'm quite excited by the theme. I think it gives tremendous opportunities for God to speak to us as a church group and to experience what it means to go. And today I want to talk about what I've called a glorious gratitude. And I want to take you to a story that you'll find in Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 17. Before I read the story to you, have you ever felt that you've been taken for granted? Have you ever felt that you've done something and it's just not been appreciated? Have you ever been in that position where you've gone away thinking, just a simple thank you would have been nice? Well, I want to take you to a story where we discover the key to being grateful and how that gratitude can release us into an experience of God that we could not experience were it not for the gratitude that we show. And so in Luke chapter 17, picking up at verse 11, this is what it says. As Jesus continued on towards Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village there, 10 lepers stood at a distance, crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." He looked at them and said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, their leprosy disappeared. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, "Praise God, I'm healed." He fell face down on the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Does only this foreigner return to give glory to God?" And Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well." The danger we all face is one in which we become so familiar with the way in which God ministers to us and the way that God connects with us and the way that God pours his spirit out upon us that we forget to be grateful for what he's doing. We can become so familiar with meeting together in church like this, coming into his presence, sharing fellowship with one another, sharing communion, knowing and experiencing, as Dean has already said, the presence of God, and yet fail to be grateful. We can go through our week and see God ministering to us and see God beginning to answer prayer and see God strengthening us and helping us, and yet become so familiar with it that we fail to praise him. And there are some lessons that we can learn from this one leper who understood the importance of gratitude. And I believe that what God is saying to us as a church and as a group of churches is that we need to go with gratitude in our hearts and in our minds. Because if we have the attitude of gratitude, it becomes transformational, as we will see. So how can I become more grateful for what God is doing? And how can I become more grateful for people who minister to me? Because it's not simply just a gratitude that extends to heaven, but it's a gratitude that spreads across the world. You see, we live in a world where it seems that gratitude is sadly misplaced very often. In a world where there is expectation, a world where we go to restaurants and are waited on and For some, there isn't even any sense of wanting to say how much they appreciate what a waiter or waitress has done. And this man, what first of all created gratitude within his heart was that he discerned what God had done for him. He had seen how suddenly his life was changed forever. Now the fact remains that so did the other nine lepers. Because the Bible tells us that as they took that step of faith, as they went in obedience to Jesus' command, that all of them saw the leprosy disappear. But only one of them discerned that for him was a moment of transformation that required a response of gratitude. As he looked in amazement, as the miracle took place in his heart and his life, suddenly he realized and understood, there is something here that is so amazing, I need to express my thanks to the one who was responsible for bringing me into this new place where I've experienced healing and release. We should never come to the place where we fail to discern how much God has done in our life. How much we have been transformed. How that there came a day in our life when we took that step of faith and we were cleansed and we were forgiven and we were set free. And that as we came into that position where we saw that and understood that, and as we day by day see God at work in our hearts and in our lives, that must create for us a real sense of gratitude and appreciation of the amazing grace, as the song says. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Are you discerning what God is doing in your life? Not just discerning what God has done, but discerning what God is doing right here and right now. And are you discerning what God can do as you move into the future? And as you see that and as you understand that, are you filled with awe and wonder at the recognition of the way in which God is working in you and through you? Because when you discern what God is doing, it draws you near to Him. It's interesting that we read that because of their condition, lepers were not allowed to connect with the society around them because they were so contagious. So that's why we're told that they stood at a distance. But as they went, so that which prevented them connecting with community disappeared. The healing came. For nine, they carried on being distant from Jesus. But gratitude drew the one who was filled with awe and wonder to Jesus. That's what happens when we understand what has been taking place in our lives. It draws us nearer to Jesus. It draws us nearer into His presence. It drives us to want to be close to where He is. It drives us to the point where we want to encounter Him and connect with Him and speak to Him and hear from Him. And so this leper, he begins to, unlike the other nine, who went further away from Jesus, began to move towards Jesus. How much do you connect with Jesus? Out of your gratitude and appreciation of what He's done, do you day by day come close to Him? Do you want to experience His presence more and more? Do you want to feel His power touching your life? Do you spend the opportunity of coming to that place where you are there with Him in that relationship of intimacy that he calls you to and He calls me to? Nearer, my God, to Thee. Nearer to Thee, the old hymn goes. And that is the heart of God for us, to draw near. We read that back in Genesis, when God first created mankind, the purpose of that creation was in order that man and God could walk together in fellowship and in friendship. Gratitude draws us near. Gratitude increases our appreciation of who Jesus is and of what Jesus has done. It takes us to the place where we want to be, where Jesus is. And so this leper, because of his gratitude, draws near to Jesus. But not only does he draw near to Jesus, but then we discover that in coming to Jesus, there is this amazing declaration, this testimony, this worship, this praise that just expands from his life and is expressed in the loudest of terms. Let me just read to you what I read earlier, what it says here. It says that the Samaritan came back to Jesus doing what? Shouting! Praise God! I'm healed! Isn't it surprising that the other nine didn't seem to have that sort of appreciation? See, gratitude leads us to declare what God has done for us. And as we as a church group and as individuals within that church group look and pray for expansion and growth and development for others to come into the experience, the kingdom of God and the power of God and the transformational ministry of God at work in their lives, let me say to you, the declaration of what God has done for you will be a trigger that God will use to draw others to him. This leper was so overwhelmed by what God had done in his life, he was not embarrassed to declare it. I don't know whether there was anyone else around. The Bible doesn't tell us. I don't know whether it was sort of out in the countryside, or whether it was a sort of right in the village centre. We know that Jesus was going through the village. I don't know. What I do know is, here was a declaration being made in the loudest possible terms of what God had done in his life and the change that it brought. Let me say to you that you have the means by which you're able to share your faith, and that is simply to declare what Jesus has done for you. And it doesn't just relate to something that may have happened 50 or 60 years ago, as in my case. But what has God done for you recently? Testimony is so powerful. Testimony is a declaration which in one sense touches three realms. Testimony is a declaration of what God has done that touches the realm of ourselves and those around us. When we declare what God has done, it not only speaks into our lives and it reminds us of the faithfulness of God, it spurs us on and increases our own expectation. Well, if God did that for me, then God can do this for me. If I declare how God has brought change there, then I can live in an expectation that that same God who ministered into that situation is a God who can minister into this situation as well. But you see, declaration like that also speaks into the spiritual realm. It speaks to the enemy who seeks to bring destruction and seeks to bring us into separation from God. It speaks to him and it declares to him, here is one who's more powerful than you. Here's one who's able to do more than you could ever imagine. Here is someone who has conquered death, hell, and all the powers of evil. Here is one who, by the word of his command and by the authority that he carries, destroys the work of the enemy. And that's why declaring what God has done is such a powerful statement to the forces that seek to to oppose God and his kingdom. But ingratitude is also a declaration of praise and worship. Praise and worship is so important. Praise and worship is a reflection of what is taking place in heaven constantly. We read in Revelation that praise and worship is part of the whole atmosphere of heaven. And when you and I declare praise to God, when you and I declare worship, so it is that that brings that sense of how heaven begins to touch earth, because we create the atmosphere of heaven on earth. That's why we read in that famous story in the Acts of the Apostles that a prison complex was transformed by praise and worship. As two followers of Jesus, Paul and Silas, in the midst of darkness, in the midst of pain, in the midst of being captured and trapped, still sung songs of praise. They declared the goodness and grace and greatness of God in the midst of their circumstances, and that transformed their circumstances. And I sense for some of you, one or two of you, you need to understand this, that you need to praise and declare the goodness and greatness of God in the midst of your circumstances, for when you do that, it will transform the circumstances in which you find yourself and which you feel has trapped you and captured you and prevented you from expanding and increasing and being released into the destiny that God has for you. Praise and worship was expressed from a heart of gratitude from a leper who discerned what God had done, who drew near to where Jesus was, but in coming nearer declared the goodness and greatness of God. That's why one of my favourite newer songs is Goodness of God, because it declares his goodness. Reminds us of David the shepherd as he penned that famous psalm, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack anything. But concludes with that climax of praise and worship. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so gratitude brings a declaration of what God has done. But gratitude also brings a demeanour that reflects how we are in the presence of God. For as the man comes to Jesus, the Bible tells us that he fell at the feet of Jesus. This was the demeanour of worship. Here was a man who was reflecting his willingness to surrender to Jesus. See, when we come to understand and appreciate what Jesus has done for us, it brings us to a place of surrender. It brings us to a place of worship. Surrender and worship is not something that we are driven to simply because we're told to surrender and worship. Surrender and worship flows out of a gratitude of understanding what Jesus has done and a willingness to give ourselves to him. Many years ago, when I was in my 20s, we received the news through of the massacre of the missionaries in what was known as Rhodesia at that time. I was with a group of young people, and the impact of the news, it hit us deeply as young people. And then subsequently, receiving news that one of those who had died had been recorded singing the song that talks about surrender. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And at that time, for me personally, I recognized the challenge that presented to my life. What does surrender look like for me? What does worship look like for me? Am I willing to prostrate myself at the feet of Jesus in appreciation that he surrendered everything for me? And as a result, I will willingly surrender everything to him. It is that act of worship that calls us to surrender. You remember on another occasion that a woman comes into the presence of a gathering of leaders who were meeting with Jesus around a meal. And she comes in and she also falls at his feet. She breaks this ointment and pours it on him. She begins to shed tears and they wash the dust from Jesus' feet. The response of the religious leaders was, if Jesus knew what sort of woman this is, he wouldn't allow her to touch him like this. And Jesus began to challenge that whole attitude, began to speak to them. And in conclusion, when he asked the question, having given them the story about one man who had a big debt, one man had a small debt, and how both were forgiven the debt, and he asked, who would love that person who had forgiven the debt most? And the response was, the one who had been forgiven the greatest debt. And Jesus went on to say, see this woman. She has been forgiven much, and therefore she loves much. Do you realize how much you've been forgiven? Do you realize how much Jesus has done for you? This leper understood the implications of what Jesus has done, and as a result, worship flowed from him. And he wanted to express his love, and expressing it through surrender. How much do you love Jesus? How much do you love Jesus? Because he first loved you. But he didn't stop there. You see, as a result of this leper coming to this point in his life, a development takes place. There is a difference, it seems to me, between wellness and wholeness. See, Jesus said to all the lepers, you go and show yourself to the priests, and as they went, they were made well. But here to this leper who had shown such gratitude for what Jesus has done, Jesus goes on to say this to him, go, for your faith has made you whole. We can live in a place of wellness, but not in a place of wholeness. And it's when we come to the understanding of all that Jesus has done to us and all that Jesus has operated in our lives for his glory, that when we come to that place where we really appreciate the greatness of the grace that has been displayed and shown to us, that we too can know that he takes us out of a place of wellness into a place of wholeness. See, God is interested in the whole being. So wellness is very much a physical thing. For the lepers, they were made well physically. For the one who came with the gratitude and the appreciation of what Jesus has done in the physical, he now received something that went far beyond the physical. It went into the emotional and it went into the spiritual. He was made whole. There's another way in which the Bible puts this. Your faith has saved you. And I suspect, in my view, that the difference between the 9 and the 1 was the 9 were well in their body, but separated from Jesus in their soul. The one was well in his body, but was in relationship with his, with Jesus through encounter and the experience as a result of faith that comes. We pray and we believe in healing. We pray and believe that God wants us to be well. Yet at the same time we recognize that if we are simply well and not whole, then we've only experienced something that is temporary. Because no matter how well you and I may be, and earlier on I was talking to Dave and to Wally and saying that for an old man like me, I feel pretty well. I was saying now that when I was in my 20s, people at my age, assuming that they reached my age, we thought that they were pretty well past it, done and done and dusted, really. And now I've reached that age, I realise how wrong I was. Although if you ask a young person, they probably will agree with my 20-year-old self. But nevertheless, wellness is temporary. No matter how well you may be feeling today, in 30 years' time, you won't be feeling so well, as far as this world is concerned. But if you're whole, you will be transformed into the image of Jesus. You will be whole for eternity. And so here is a leper, because of his gratitude, came into a place of experiencing an encounter with Jesus that brought him into relationship with Jesus and into relationship with a Father who longs to be related to us. And so this morning I just simply want to say to you, how grateful are you? How grateful are you? Have you discerned what God has done in your life? Have you discerned what God is doing in your life? And have you discerned what God may yet be doing in your life? If you have discerned that, be grateful and give thanks for it. In some cases, some of you need to give thanks for something you discern that has not yet happened, but is going to happen as you begin to give thanks for it. Sometimes you need to give thanks ahead of the time at which the release will come, because in you giving thanks and praise and worship, that is the very thing that will release what you are looking for and longing for into your experience. Secondly, having discerned what is happening, is that drawing you near? Out of that gratitude in your heart and life, are you drawing near to the one who wants to draw near to you? Are you experiencing an ever sense of the closeness of Jesus in his presence? Are you drawing near to the one who just longs to enable you to experience him enveloping you with his love and his power and his presence? And in drawing near, are you declaring his greatness? Are you declaring his goodness? Are you declaring his grace? You see, on one occasion, there was an army that was coming against God's people, and God's people and their leadership didn't know what to do. And so they sought for God's answer, and God said, right, okay, through the prophet, this is what you need to do. Put the praise and worshippers at the front. Let the praise and worshippers declare the goodness and grace of God. And as the praise and worshippers went out leading praise and worship songs, so God broke in and the power of the enemy was destroyed. Declaring the goodness of God will bring to you a sense in which heaven will touch earth. You will sense the atmosphere of heaven surrounding you and ministering to you. As you declare what God has done, then is your demeanour one in which it's one of surrender and one of worship? Do you place yourself at the feet of Jesus, saying, here I am, use me, here I am, wholly available, as for me, I will serve the Lord. Because if you do that, let me say, you will continue to develop into the wholeness that God wants you to experience. That wholeness that isn't just for now, but that wholeness that lasts for eternity. Let's just pray. Father, I thank you so much that you desire for us to be whole. And as we have prayed for various people within our fellowship, and as we've gathered together, we declare your goodness and your grace. We come and we ask that for each of us, we will be filled with gratitude for what you've done, for what you're doing, and for what you will do. And that as a result of that, not only will we experience wholeness in our lives, but we will see wholeness flow into the lives of those around us, our family, our friends, and our community. In Jesus' name, and for his glory. Amen.